Faith. I was talking yesterday with my brother, and one of the things in our conversation, I was becoming aware as we were talking how the enemy is trying to oppress the body, probably the body of Christ, certainly the overcomers, and I know certainly with Full Gospel Assembly, with apathy. And he tries to do this. We've had attacks before over the years. And often apathy comes when we're starting to listen to the devil's lies. And apathy causes one to be inward looking. And generally it works along lines, well, you know, you stepped out, or you thought you stepped out in faith. You thought the Lord was with you, and you're doing the right thing, you did everything you know to do, and you fell flat on your face. Or you looked an idiot, and he didn't give God the glory and everything. And the enemy, of course, becomes very vocal. He uses it. They're the type of things that create apathy in a church. And one of the wonderful things about the good news of the gospel and our Father's love and heart towards us is that, yes, we have all missed it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all thought we were in faith and so forth. But you know something I find? He says, let's dust ourselves down. Let's get up. And let's continue to move forward. Okay, that door you've gone through is closed. Can't go through that door anymore, because it's history. But the good news is, there's other doors. And we're going to go through those. See how God turns everything. How God deals with the enemy, his lies, his deceptions. You see? That is called condemnation. And we're clearly told there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, none of us are going to deny that. I am in Christ Jesus, and I'm not going to be condemned, even though he's vocal and I feel condemned. Yes, we can feel condemned, yes, we can feel it. But the point is, it's not what God's word says. And we, as an assembly, have to move forward. Leave the history of this assembly, what we've done, where we are, whatever it is, and we move to what we are aiming for. And that is why I'm calling this teaching this morning, we must see breakthroughs in faith, or with our faith. And indeed, we will. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says here, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith," or, in other words, by his faithfulness. That's what it's implying. But it's an interesting verse there. God's righteousness. Now, we all know what righteousness means in theology. God has made us right for his presence. And he has used his life, the blood of Christ, to make us right, a right standing before God. That is righteousness. Whatever your life, whatever you're going through, whatever the enemy may be saying, I have, by faith in God's mercy and grace, I have that right standing before God. And I want to add that that standing is not just a believer, as if that were not enough to be forgiven, for our sins to be cast away as far as the east is to the west. But that standard righteousness is also incorporating, if you can believe it and you want it, as a son, a first fruits, an overcomer. There you see the generosity of the Father's heart, always giving more and showing more, if we choose to believe it. So he says there, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed," so it's revealed. What is he doing today? Now in this meeting, he is revealing. He's revealing his will. He's revealing his heart. He's revealing, he's showing us, he's telling us in Revelation. It's what it means. A revelation. He's revealing from faith to faith. So we get the impression that we grow in the faith. We move from faith to faith, from plateau to plateau. We have faith opportunities presented to us every day. If we seek them, we want them. And as we heard in prophecy, God said, "If you seek me with all your heart." If you seek God and meet those conditions, you will have faith being presented day after day after day in which to build upon and overcome and see the glory of the Lord. For as it is written, the just live by their own faith? No. By his faithfulness. So even you live by his faithfulness. That speaks of his love. That infinite love, which again we've heard this morning in prophecy. That is how we walk. So we must see breakthroughs in our faith. And God is expecting it. Do you know why he's expecting it from every one of us, both individually and corporately? Because he's the author and finisher of it. He has given it. He doesn't give a bad gift. Anything but. Anything but. And the only way we are going to know how we are walking is by faith. And it's by faith that we see those breakthroughs. And the way we see those breakthroughs, if you want those breakthroughs in your life, and you may say to yourself, "Well, I don't know what these breakthroughs are." You know, you've already just said that the assembly has gone through a lot of apathy or whatever it is. Well, whatever assembly goes through, whatever beliefs go through, you can always find there's one or two there who are breaking through. And if you look at it, sometimes you find it challenges you. And you say to yourself, "Well, look what she's gone through. Look what the Lord has done for her. And he loves her just as much as he loves me, or whatever it is. So, come on, I need to back up. I need to start moving. I need to seek God. You know, I'm seeing some brothers and sisters breaking through. And I could get left behind." "Oh, no, 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 no," pride says. "You could never get left behind. After all, you belong to FGA. Don't be fooled by that. Your own pride fools you in that, deceives you. If God opens your eyes and you see one or two, yes, they're going on, or praise God, look what God's done there. That is speaking to you. That is telling you. And it's warning you. How do we know this? We know so very well if we turn to Peter. 1 Peter, know this very well, we've probably got it all marked. What, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, this is what we're told to do. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And this is what he does. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This word, this idea of exalting means he's with you, strengthening you. He's helping you. He's empowering you. He's going to do something. That through that humbling, that bowing of the knee, he's going to do something in time. He's going to get the powers of darkness, the enemy, which we have allowed, through pride, going to get him and tell him to leave.
Hallelujah. Amen.
See? Because we're our own worst enemy where pride is concerned, and we all know that one here. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So, yes, our cares, our worries, yes, what pride has done, being my own fault, my own worst enemy, because that's what pride does. In the end, you know, we bow that knee, Lord, I cannot go on like this. My life is a mess. You know, it's... And so you humble yourself, you cast all those cares, those woes, those worries, those burdens, which pride has created. Listen to it. We're bringing it all before him. Own worst enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking them who he may devour. Seeking out those who hold on to that old pride, that independent spirit. Heard it all again through prophecy. And he can have access. And sometimes God will allow the hedge to come down. And that is a sign to you, a warning. Get back. Bow that knee. And let me deal with it. And those warnings can come in many, many ways. They can come in a physical trial. They can come in a spiritual. They can come in numerous ways. And if things happen to us that are contrary to the word of God in Psalm 91, we have to stop and say, Lord, are you getting my attention? Things are not right here. And often 9 times out of 10, it's not rocket science, you do know. It's just that we don't want to acknowledge it. We're like those old ostriches, we stick our heads in the sand. I'll do it tomorrow, not now. I'm enjoying myself. Praise the Lord. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while because of your pride, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We've heard about it this morning. Settle it. That's exactly what he does. So it's no good saying, oh, I praise God, I'm going through persecution, I'm going through trial, look what's happened, it's because I'm a believer and I love Jesus and Jesus loves me, and look what's happening to me because I'm so spiritual, I walk so close with God. I tell you, few of us ever meet that. I'm not saying we won't, but a lot of us like to think that, but I'm afraid it isn't that. It's that old pride, that independent self, that has caused the hedge to come down. And I'm speaking to myself as to the rest of us. But look what he says. Look the promise. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Settle in, Lord. And what do you settle? That old cross that you daily take up and follow him. There's nothing like being settled with God. That peace, that harmony, that fellowship, that joy, everything and more. And that when you're touched by that and you experience it, you want more and more and more of it. And that's how you get it. You get more of Jesus. And that's what he's doing. That's why we must see breakthroughs in our faith. This is what we're dealing with. What does it say in James chapter 4? These are all scriptures that we've expounded on over the years, but we must never lose sight of these. James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, 4. Verses 6, 7 of James. He says here, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. In other words, his temptations, his lies will flee from you. I'm reminded of Jesus when he was led into the wilderness, and there he was tried and tested by the enemy. He was tempted. He was tempted. And he went in with the Spirit, and he came out with the power of the Spirit. Amen. He had passed the test. Amen. But it says he left him for a season.
Yeah.
Have to remember that. He doesn't give up that easy, does Satan? And of course, we know again, he's trying to work again to stop him from going to the cross. And you know the story of Peter, how he tried to stop him in his emotions and his flesh, which is very understandable. However, the Lord saw what was working behind of that, using him. Get thee behind me, Satan. You savour not the things that are of God. And we find a similar experience. How the enemy tries to use emotions. Because emotions are strong in us. Now, just talking a bit about emotions again. Firstly, emotions are God-given. So that's where they come from. They're part of our makeup, our character. It's what makes us human in that sense. But we know that emotions can go so terribly out of control. Wars have been created by emotions. Fights, family squabbles, all that can go on can be created by emotions. We have allowed our emotions to take over, only to find ourselves, praise God, to apologize afterwards, because it was emotions that got in the way. So, who can tame the emotions of man? Well, you can't. Only God can. And it's as we give this over, as we present ourselves each day to God, we heard in our closet. It's not just presenting ourselves and praying when we come to a meeting today, as lovely as this is and a blessing as it is, and it's right that we do so. But everything that we hear, everything that we've heard, every touch over our lives, everything, we take it away. And we continue to make it a talk, a conversation with God. For example, Lord, I've heard today, I've heard the word, I heard that prophecy, and boy, did it have my name and address on it. And hallelujah, I'm glad it has. Because I'll tell you what, that prophecy had my name and address on it, good and proper. You say to me, really? Well, you're a pastor. You're preaching the word. You should be perfect. Well, if you're looking for somebody perfect, you better look to somebody else. Because I'm not. I'm heading toward it. My faith says that. And I do expect to see breakthroughs. But I'm not perfect. And I heard that this morning. And that had my name and address on. And there are things I'm going to go before God with regard to that I've heard. Because A, I want to, it is right, I want to meet with my Heavenly Father, I need to discuss, talk things out with him, because that's what you do. But the other thing is also that slightly warns me, I need to be right with God before I go to India, because I'm going in 2 weeks' time. And I need to know the hedge is secure.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Thank
you, Jesus.
So I'm giving you some little secrets, what your pastor also goes through. And hopefully some of you think, praise God he is human. Because I sure am. But I'm saying this to try and help you. It's what I do, you see. And we must practice. We must preach. We must practice what we preach. See, the world has to see that. And this isn't rocket science. And it isn't hard. I know the enemy will try and keep you out of the presence of the Lord. He'll keep you busy. Phone calls, children, oh, you name it. I'm very aware of what he tries to do. But you have to say, no, I'm going to reform my Heavenly Father. And it doesn't always take hours. As I keep saying so many times, it's not quantity, it's quality. Quality time before God. Sometimes I've had 10-15 minutes of just quality time before God. And other times it could be a couple of hours. It just varies. See, God never works through a blueprint, which religion likes, you see, because it can then control it. So we must see these breakthroughs with our faith. The humble are the only ones who will be honest with regard to their faith. Those who walk humbly before God, you will hear a humility about their faith. You hear a difference, because I heard where people speak faith, but somehow, sometimes in your heart, you know that that isn't really real. There's something that just doesn't seem right about it. And I'm not talking about, oh, I can't believe, you know, I need to humble myself before God, and after I do that, I'll see if I'm in faith, you know. I'm not talking about that. You know, that's defeatism. But sometimes we've heard, and we've probably done it ourselves, praise God, I'm in faith, hallelujah, I've got it, the victory, I've got it in Jesus' name, and so forth. You know, it's just a formula. It's just words. Faith has its own confession. Faith has a way it expresses itself. Faith has a way in which it acts, because it is all inspired and moved by the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Because it's his gift in the first place. You see? And this is why the humble are the only ones who are honest with regard to their faith, and always see room for improvement. Even the Apostle Paul said, I'm in a race, I haven't run it yet. He always, even him, saw room for improvement to his faith. And that's a characteristic of the humble before God. You will see, yes, he or she is in faith, but boy, listen, they're still reaching out for even more by the grace and mercy of God. With the proud, it's almost as though they've arrived. And they have it. You know? And you listen to it and you think to yourself, well, I might as well go home. You know? Have you ever sometimes, I mean, I have, I mean, in the past I used to hear it in churches, and these confessions, and people would get up. And, you know, I love to hear a good testimony. I love to hear what God's done and will do and everything. But somehow, some of these testimonies put me into condemnation. And I felt utterly useless. And I thought, you know, where am I going wrong? You know, and you go and seek God, and, you know, you've heard this dynamic confession, and this happened, that happened, and everything. And I'm not saying this happened every time, but a lot of the times, only give it time. and you found those people who were very vocal were not to be found, or backslid, or something had happened. And in time you begin to think, yes, I begin to see, Lord, you know? As I always say, and will continue to say, faith is free, but not cheap. And when I hear a testimony of faith, I know that has cost that brother or sister in what they've just shared. That ain't come cheap. But the Lord has been faithful. You see? There are ways that you can discern and see these things, you see? But there's always that room for improvement. And so, because there's room for improvement, God sometimes is going to show us where we are in the faith. I'm very aware of the title, we must see breakthroughs in our faith. And sometimes God's going to show us, you are breaking through, it is happening, and sometimes he has a way in which he does it. I'm reminded of children when they go to school, and at the end of term or the end of the year you get a school report, you know, and this is a time of, you know, a special time, because the teacher or teachers are going to give an account of you, how you fared through the year. And this is primarily for your parents to have a look at, you know? And in my days, they used to give us the report. It was in a sealed envelope, and I was dying to open it because I didn't always want to show them, you see. And, you know, I was always a bit fearful about this because I thought, well, I know one or two teachers are not going to be very favourable on me. I know that for a start. So you've got this report, and you take it home, and this report is, of course, telling you how you're getting on. Well, God does the same. God wants you sometimes to know how you're getting on. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, only the humble will read that report correctly. The proud won't read it properly. Because I'll tell you what the proud do, they miss out the areas where they're not doing so well. They'll only give you the good report. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound familiar of the world? Does it sound familiar, you know, what you hear all around you? Companies, you name it, whatever. They always let you hear what they want you to hear, don't they? They'll never tell you areas where they didn't meet the mark or meet the goal. Or whatever it is. Politicians do it. Children do it. And sadly at times we do it in the house of God. You see? It's nothing but pride.
Gloss over.
I mean, how many saints do you ever hear say, do you know, I missed it good and proper yesterday. I missed it a mile off the mark. I'm here today by God's grace and mercy because he should have actually given up on me. Don't hear it very often, do you? But I tell you what, when you do hear it, you think, so what blessing. Praise God. That ministers to me, that gives me hope. You know? But the humble will do that. They're honest. But equally with that honesty, there is something within them that is reaching out for more. And once more, there's something within them that although we walk this day, and as I retire and put my head down on the bed, I want to see more faith tomorrow, Lord. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. That's healthy. Expect it. Believe for it. See it in your life. See these breakthroughs. Don't be complacent. Because it is a sin eventually. Because that's what it leads to. I'm reminded of Eli, the priest, with his three sons. You know? He was complacent, certainly with regard to them. They were committing sin. And basically he didn't want to know. He was sticking his head in the sand, you know? And God judged. He judged severely over it. And we have to be on our guard over that. There can be an Eli spirit that can attack. You know, well, we'll do it tomorrow, whatever it is. But again, we heard today in prophecy, God said, don't leave it. Come before me. If we're aware of sin, or there's sin going on, go before him. Talk it through. He never throws you out of his presence. Anything but the love of God draws us. The love of God is drawing us all the time to come before him. That's the nature of what love does. Love draws us to each other. It's like a magnet drawing. You know when that magnet's not working, if you've got something against someone, whatever it is, you know, you're holding resentment, you want to push them away. You don't want them in your presence, or you're hoping they won't turn up at the meeting today. I know how it works. I'm aware that isn't love. Love will draw, warts and all, everything. It draws us. It brings us together in that unity and oneness. And that love, the love of God, the love that is found in fellowship, that word, Greek word, koinonia, fellowship, that love deals with sin with us. It's so powerful that probably that meeting today you'll say, do you know, I have had a deliverance. The love of God has just delivered me. I'm free now. That's what a meeting should be about. Yes. It's what the love of God should be about. Yes. Do we want these breakthroughs, brothers and sisters, or not, by faith? That's up to you. I can't force him. But I assume we're here today because that's what we want. Yes. So, yes, God's going to show us our reports. He's going to show us sometimes, you know, where we are in the faith, how we're doing. I always think twice before I go and ask God. I say, Lord, I think I'm due for a report where I am in the faith. You know, you're sort of trembling, you think, well, what's this going to, you know. I think, no. No, God is love. And that report is going to be a love report. Not like what our teachers give, because I know some teachers have got it in for some. Students, pupils, I'm aware of that. Personality clashes, whatever, you see it go on even in the best of schools. And God isn't like that at all. We know this very well. But what does it say in Jude 20, 21? This is all connected with regard to seeing these breakthroughs with our faith. As it says in Jude 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we do. So how are you building yourself up in faith, in the faith? Some say, praying in tongues. Yes, but that isn't all what it says there. It is saying there, praying in the Holy Spirit. So there is a speaking in tongues. I was doing it today in my mind, my head, as I was driving, preparing for the meeting. But there is also a praying in tongues when I go before God. We have prayed in tongues today, haven't we? Mm. For healing. There is praying in tongues in your closet with your Heavenly Father. And what is that praying doing? Building you up in the faith. Ah, but you told me that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Don't restrict God just to faith coming by hearing the word of God. That's vitally important. But there's also praying that is attached to it. We have to take the whole counsel of God's word. You see, It's easy just to make a doctrine out of one scripture, and that's how cults are formed. That's why we have four accounts of Christ's death and resurrection. They're called the four Gospels. Four different men, characters, personalities, but were moved by the one Holy Spirit. You see? And he goes on, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So with that, building yourself, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in the faith, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So that's a responsibility you have to do. Keep yourselves in love. How do you keep yourselves in love? Well, we come to a love meeting today. And I move, I have legs, I have a car, I make that effort to come to that meeting where I know the love of God is going to be. That's just a part of what it is. I'm just giving you practical things at the moment, how this all works, you see. So, that is also the nature of faith in which it's built upon. And it's also, brothers and sisters, not letting go what we have been taught. A lot of us have said, well, you know, what we're being taught today now is so, so different to the early days when we're teaching faith and the deeper life and so forth. Brothers and sisters, we still are principally teaching faith and the deeper life. It's what we spoke of in Romans chapter 1 verse 17, I should say, from faith to faith. You build on your faith. The Epistle of Peter, he speaks about adding to your faith, knowledge, virtue and so forth. So faith is a building. That's the nature of it. We move on from plateau to plateau. What is faith doing? It's causing us to grow up to become sons and daughters of the living God. That is the nature of faith, and a healthy faith. And Satan knows that, and that's why he tries to keep us down or in apathy or whatever. That's why we have to see these breakthroughs with our faith, because it's about our development, our growth. That's why it is so important. And this is why we do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We were so much younger then in those days. We weren't in that place that we are now. Even the teachers and so on. But it was right for that time. If it wasn't, God would have found something else or a different ministry. And so we need to settle that, because it stops criticism. It stops judging. And some are no longer in this walk because they have judged the past. And said, oh, it was off. That brother was off. It was legalism. It was all bondage. It was heretical. It wasn't. It was challenging us to the core. The problem we were having was pride issues. We couldn't settle it because God wasn't doing it the way I wanted it done. See, we all made those mistakes.
Yeah.
But God's not let go of us.
Thank you.
You can't get it all when you're first saved. It's impossible. For those mothers and fathers who have had children, you know that. You can't talk an adult conversation with a two-year-old. Just look at you. Don't understand, Mummy. You know? Doesn't. I mean, how often are we saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And in time he's saying, you will. You will. That's the whole thing. It's all called growing up. But we have to believe and rely on the fact God has given me the right teaching over the years. And God never makes a mistake. Never, ever. So don't start throwing all your books away or whatever it is And I know one of the books that riles people, that a lot have, some of that being thrown away, is Positive Thinking and Confession, because that one causes problems. Mm. And we know also the faith book with regard to healing, but that one does, because of what it's doing, it's exposing what you confess, what you say. That's exactly what it's doing. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that book.
No.
At all. So, you know, but people have thrown it away. Mm. People have criticised it and so on. What does Colossians 2 verse 7 say? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, which says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So the Apostle Paul is saying here, be built up with what you have and are receiving. He's using history there. Don't throw it away. It has all served a purpose to where you are today, now, this moment. Mm-hmm. That's why God's a miracle working God. Everything works together for good to them that love God and those who call according to his grace, his mercy, and so on. You see. He's complete control. And that's why we need to believe, rely on this. That God loves me. He's giving me and has given me the right teaching over the years for me to walk by faith in these last days. God never makes a mistake. Why am I making so much of this? Because brothers and sisters, we're having to face decisions, and they're coming even already now. We were talking about this coming up in the car. A sister in the Lord shared with me that God's speaking to her, Babylon is falling. You read in Revelations what Babylon means, a mystery Babylon, the whole system, the economy, politics, democracies, everything as we see it today, the whole lot is crumbling before our eyes. Now that is telling us something very clear. You move on with the faith. You move on with your belief still for divine healing. You move on with your belief for your finances. All those things that we've had so much teaching about over the years, of which Jesus said, take no thought, don't worry, don't be even concerned about any of those things. Just seek the greater things, which is the kingdom, which is me, which we heard again in prophecy this morning. Put me first. And what is it promise? All will be added, including your healing, your deliverances, your whatever you're going through, all your trials, all will be added on that principle. Oh, but Pastor, I've heard this so many times. And you do not know my life. And you do not know what I'm going through and blah, blah, and everything. The only thing I can say to any of you who are thinking that at the moment, well, has God made a mistake? And that often shuts us up. Because there's nothing more you can say about that. You can't even put a butt on it. We probably might try, but you can't. Because you can't argue. You see, you are dependent that God hasn't made a mistake. You've got enough savvy about you and spirituality to know that, well, whatever I'm doubting, whatever, I've got to settle it the fact God doesn't make a mistake. Because if he makes a mistake, well, boy, we're in trouble. We're in real trouble. But of course he doesn't. So he's still working with us. And we've got to now start to see breakthroughs with our faith. Because I'm going to tell you something now, and this isn't scaremongering. This is a fact, and I believe this is coming by the Spirit. You will not soon be able to rely on medical science. I think it's absolutely clear we are seeing the writing on the wall. Are we not? Mm-hmm. You know exactly what I'm saying and where we're coming from. it's slowly folding up. You cannot rely any longer on your finances, your bank balances, your nest that you've accumulated over the years. It is slowly packing up. The financial economies are in an absolute mess. I was listening to a financier the other day, and it was absolutely alarming, the mess that they are in. And one of the things he said, the banks over the last 8 years have learned absolutely nothing. Not a thing. And you know why they don't learn, and they never will learn, and why the finances, Babylon will fall? Because it is consumed by greed. That's why. Greed is the blinding factor. And along, of course, with greed is covetousness and idolatry, all that attaches itself to it.
Yeah.
So, it's falling. It's crumbling. We only have to look at the Daniel's image of the beast. Mm. Clearly tells us. So, all of this tells me that we have to keep our eyes firmly fixed on the Lord. I'd like to actually change that. I think that's a little bit of a put down for the sons and daughters of God. We keep our eyes on Him in these last days because we love Him. Mm. That's the reason why.
Yeah.
Not we must.
Mm.
That's wrong. I don't want because I must keep my eyes on Him. No. I want to because I love Him. No. And He loves me. I think there's the difference.
Yeah.
And maybe that might be a breakthrough. That's just come. I've not thought of this before, but the Lord's brought that out this, not today.
Absolutely.
That might be a big breakthrough. It may well be for me as well. So I take that on board. I want to look at some areas. I'll bring this to a conclusion now. The areas that we must see breakthroughs with regard to our faith. The first one, obviously, and we're always bringing this up, but it is with our prayer life. Because a prayer life generally tells you where a believer is in the Lord. It's a great indicator. It reveals their closeness with Jesus. When I see a saint who walks close with the Lord and I see the love of God, that also tells me that he or she has that consecration of prayer before God. And I'm not saying that prayer is always easy, because you are often attacked in that area by the enemy, because he knows the power of a saint when they go into their room and closet and get on their knees and get in prayer. That is the time you will find Satan trembles. That's where he trembles. Because it's dividing, breaking his hold. You see? That is what it does. So I start with prayer with regard to breakthroughs. This prayer life that we're to have. Are you disciplined in this? That might sound a bit regimental. It might sound as though we're soldiers. But in many ways we are soldiers. I've found no other way with prayer. And that is to allow God to discipline me. I've looked at other ways, and there aren't any other ways. It's just discipline. And we need to be disciplined. We need to discipline our children. God disciplines us. We so easily get out of control otherwise, you know? So there's that discipline. Discipline means it's God's hand firmly on you. And the only nearest analogy I can get is when you see a rebellious child and daddy's holding that child in his arms and that child is kicking and screaming and everything, but he ain't letting them go. What he's trying to do, or should be doing as a parent, saying, no, you're not going to do that. I am holding you. This is a firm hold because I have need of disciplining you. That is the love of a father and a mother. When I see parents disciplining their children, that tells me they love them. I'm not letting them run riot like so much we see today. Kids just run riot. And it's not fair on them. It's not fair on them. That energy in them needs to be channeled. Children have a lot of energy. There's a lot of growth going on. There's change going on. They're learning all the time. That is energy, but it isn't as hard as one thinks if you stick to the main principles of disciplining your children. And disciplining means when you say no, you mean no. You don't change it after half an hour because they're trying to wear you down. And we do that with God, you know. We do. We try and push him. We've already heard what he said. Well, I'll give it a go anyway, you know. The word's still no. So we see these analogies all the time. And this is what he does with it. And it's with a prayer life. Now, if you're not disciplined in prayer, then ask God, Lord, be firm with me. I'm asking you to be firm, whatever this will take, I want a regular, healthy, good prayer life with you. And I vow no saint who says that before God after saying it will be in unbelief. Isn't it amazing how we believe that one? Isn't it? Huh? You couldn't doubt it if you tried.
Yes.
Now, brothers and sisters, that's the faith we're coming into for praying. Praying for the sick, mm-hmm. raising the dead. Because you are in perfect will and harmony with God. You can't doubt it. Now take note of that, because that's what's coming with regard to faith. Jesus didn't doubt when he spoke the word to Lazarus, come forth. He knew. It was perfectly lined up with the harmony of God. And that's the same for your healing, your deliverance, and so on. So I think on these little things. Yes. I take comfort through this.
Yes.
You know? So that's the first one, prayer life. Second one is reading and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Reading, hearing the word of God. Are you excited, encouraged? When you come to a meeting, that seed is going to be sown in my heart today. I do. I get encouraged. Because that's God's mercy. I'm going away today with seed sown in my heart, and the Holy Spirit's going to water that. And that's why we move from faith to faith. That's why we never stay at the level of our faith, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I've got seed today sown in my heart, which means I'm going to have a greater faith tomorrow and next week, if the Lord tarries. Think on these things. Meditate on them. They're wonderful encouragements to us. And I don't know about you, but I certainly like encouragement. There's so much negativism around today. Oh, dear, you don't even have to look for it. It's all around you, so it encourages you. That seed can be sown in my heart today. If you want it. If you come prepared. That's why I keep saying, pray for these meetings. Pray out before you come, so you're spiritually ready, open, ready to receive. We go as far as we want with these meetings. Because God's here. He's in his fullness. The well is there. You can take as much spiritual water as you want out of that well. It will never dry up. You see? We are our own worst enemies. So God's taken all the limits off. When Jesus said, it's finished, it's done, he meant exactly what he said on the cross. Nothing less, nothing more is going to be added. It's fulfilled, it's done. That's why of his fullness we have received. And thirdly, in these areas to see breakthroughs, thirdly, do you want to have an active faith? That's the question. Now, we've been challenging that this morning, but that's what we're challenged with. Do you want this active faith? Praying for opportunities. Seeking God for opportunities. Because that's what an active faith will do. Lord, I'm going out today. I'm going to walk this day by faith. I desire opportunities to glorify your name. And sometimes God will specifically show you some areas specifically pray for to glorify his name. So that you can have that active faith. You see, one thing we have to learn with Jesus' ministry, and you read the Gospels, and there are areas where it gives it away, where the Lord got up early in the morning, and what was he doing? Just sort of, you know, having a good breakfast, meeting the day? No, he wasn't. He got up in prayer. Interceding, praying. He was birthing it through. That's what prayer does. It births it through. And you wait on God for it to be birthed through. How do you think we minister the Word of God to you? We have to birth these teachings through. Because it cannot be received by flesh and blood. It cannot be received by the mere intellect. It has to be birthed through. That is the nature of the unction of the Spirit. We call it the anointing. The anointing really means God has birthed this through. There's an anointing on this that has come as a result of praying and seeking God. That's what it is, you see. Now, you can't just sit back and say, oh, well, of course, that's for the pastor, it's for Bob, or whatever. No, it's not. That principle works for each one of you, as the Lord shows you and reveals to you. It might be that you've got a neighbour next door. They're going through real trial, real hardship. And you've got a wonderful opportunity, as the Lord leads, and by the anointing, to present Jesus to them. But that is not going to come unless you have prayed and birthed that through. Mm. See, that's my point. You see? It's quite simple. The disciples saw what Jesus was doing, how he was walking, the miracles and everything, and they asked him, basically, how do you do this? Gave them the Lord's Prayer. They asked him about casting out of demons. He said, prayer. This sort cometh out but nothing but by prayer and fasting. Mm. It's all there if we want to look for it. He's giving it away, you see. And so the same principle is for us. I want this church to start moving much more forward in prayer, days of fasting, together in prayer, breaking through, breaking the powers of darkness. That is my heart's desire for this church. But it ain't going to happen by the pastor having to take you all by the scruff of the neck to get it done. I'm not going to do that anymore. Oh, I've done it in the past, but I'm not anymore. What I'm watching for to see is the affection in the heart for it. Mm. Is the desire in the heart for it. That's what I'm watching, because I'm listening to what God is saying. Yes. And it's up to you, brothers and sisters. Because it's there. It's for us. You know? And it's what we want. This is why we're calling this teaching, we must see breakthroughs with our faith. But you know something as I bring this to a close? breakthroughs in the area of your faith will cut across your plans. Mm. What you want to do.
Yes.
So be prepared. If you want to be used of God, it's going to cut right across your plans at times. Oh, well, I wasn't planning for this today. I had something else in mind. You've got a decision to make.
Yes.
A choice. What comes first? You know? And I don't have to tell you that one. I'll leave you with something we know very well, which we've been discussing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Isn't this amazing? We're told here, Paul says to the Corinthians, examine yourselves. I've been doing precisely that today. I've been encouraging, exhorting you how you do this. So it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. In this case, today, a faith where I must see more breakthroughs. So you examine yourselves in that, whether it's happening indeed or it isn't. That's where you have to be honest. Test yourselves. Ooh, that's interesting. How does it mean then, test yourself? Well, I better do a test. You know? You know, like scientists or somebody's in the laboratory or whatever it is, we better run some tests or whatever it is. Because that's what often doctors will do if you go with a problem or diagnosis or whatever. Sometimes they say, well, we've got to do some tests to find out. So we run some tests. One of the tests that we have run today is with regard to your prayer life. Ah, not so good. Oh dear. That could well be the symptom, the problem. There you are. This is what we mean by tests. Mm. So examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Why do you do this? Because do you not know yourselves? Jesus Christ lives in you. That's why. I have God in me. And that is serious. And I have to test myself. I have to find out by that simple test, because this is God in me. I don't belong to myself anymore. I have been purchased with a price. Therefore, I have a responsibility. And God isn't going to just do this for you. He's going to watch to see that you meet him halfway with regard to this.
Yes.
And he'll do the rest, and he always does. So this is what it's about, brothers and sisters. We must see breakthroughs in our faith.
Rushes onward, ever growing. rushes onward ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus I'll find security. And Jesus is the one, brighter by far than any sun, who overcame the enemy, who fought and won the victory. And Jesus is his name, all power is given unto him, who has redeemed. She's so